Good morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Holy God, we pray you look upon us this morning as we come together to worship you and thy Son Jesus. Pray that you bless us in our service. We pray that the things that we do today will be pleasing to you. Be with Brother Bill as he leads the class this morning. Brother Shane as he takes a lesson from God's word to us. We are thankful for the blessing of our Lord and Savior Jesus who died for our sins. We pray that we do our very best to walk uprightly before you every day of our life and help us today that our worship may be pleasing to you. We thank you in all things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Welcome to each and every one today. Glad we can be together. We've been on Wednesday evening looking at the Gospel of Luke, and thought we'd just continue that this morning. There's not a better one, in my opinion, than the writer Luke in that. And we're ready for chapter 9, which is kind of a nice breaking point there. So we can pick up there this morning and look at this chapter, and it's really a packed chapter. We go back and look at it. All the things that Luke covers in this chapter, very important information for them back then, the apostles in particular, and of course make the application for us today. Anyone need a Bible? Everybody good? Chris has the microphone. As always, we appreciate your comments. It's better to hear from you than just hear from me for the next 35 minutes. So appreciate your comments. If you have some, Chris will get the mic to you. Okay, so chapter 9, we'll begin and read. And we read this Wednesday evening. We'll go back and look at this briefly again. We did not discuss it in any detail then. So let's read down through verses 1 through 9. Then he called his 12 disciples together, gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases, sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, take nothing for your journey, neither staffs, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics apiece. Whatever house you enter in, stay there, and from there depart. And whoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust of your feet as a testimony against them. So they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him, Jesus, and he was perplexed because it was said by some that John had risen from the dead, and by some that Elijah had appeared, by others that one of the old prophets had risen again. And Herod said, John I have beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things? So he sought to see him. So at this time, as he begins to speak to his apostle, we can assume, we don't know for sure, but we can assume that they were still in the region of Galilee, where they had been previously. So we think that they were still in that area. And he assembled the twelve disciples. We know that Matthew names them over in chapter 10. You're very well aware of who the 12 apostles were. And it said, when Jesus got them together, he gave them authority over demons and to be able to cure diseases, to heal the sick. So the power of the Holy Spirit was given to them so that they might have authority over demons. We know that demons had some power. They could enter into a person and control that person. We've seen that Jesus was able to cast out demons. So they had some power, but he gave them enough power that they would be able to cast out demons also, as well as Jesus had. And the power to heal the sick as well, to cure diseases at this time. And this power was given to them, as was the many of the miracles that were given. We know were given that they might be able to make believers. So this was given to them so that as they went to preach the gospel, the kingdom of God, that the people would know that they were from God because they had the power to over demons and the power to heal the sick. He tells them not to take anything with them, not to take a staff, a walking stick, not to take a bag of money, not to take bread, not to take extra clothes. So concentrate on preaching the gospel. Don't worry about your physical needs at this time, but concentrate on the message that you're sent to preach. When you enter into a house, stay there. Don't be moving around from house to house. That'll only take extra time away from your preaching the gospel. There will be some that will receive the message. There will be some that will reject the message. Those that reject the message, Jesus said, shake off the dust of your feet as a testimony against them. They've had the message preached. They've refused to accept it. Shake off the dust of your feet as a testimony against them. They've had the opportunity. Matthew says in his account of this occasion that it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah for them. And we know of the wickedness that was in Sodom and Gomorrah, and that they were held to a very terrible fate because of that. And Matthew says it'll be better for them. The people that they're preaching to, it'll be better for them than it will be for them. So the 12 went out as Jesus had directed them to preach the gospel and to heal the sick. Now that takes us down to verse 6. We'll pause right there for your comments that you might have about the sending out of the 12 at this time. Chris has the mic. If you have comments, somebody's horn's going off. I see some people going to check, so.
I have a comment.
Yeah.
Brother Paul. If I can get the name right. Something I noticed in this is, as you said, he told them to focus on the word, but to focus on preaching the word. I notice this also has a resonance with what Jesus said in when he was doing his 40 days of testing and being tempted by the devil. He said, man not survives not by bread, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And in a way, that's sort of what he was telling them to do here. Don't trust in your own resources. Let God provide for you. As well, and doing that helps them to preach the word.
Yep, very good. Thank you. Anyone else? Paul.
They had been traveling and Jesus had been teaching them for some time now, and now it's time for them to go out and practice. He defined the mission for them. He gave them, you know, the instructions. They were to travel a lot. This wasn't going to be a pleasure trip. This would indicate to them that the importance of the message, that they were going to get this out to as many people as possible. And this would also be a confidence builder for them.
Yep, very good. Thank you. Very good.
I think, like others have mentioned, that this was a time for them to learn that God will take care of them. You know, because a lot of these people spent a lifetime, you know, Peter and his family and others. And, you know, I know I would think, well, how am I going to provide for my family? I'm married, I have children or whatever. And this is a good way to find out that you're probably a special case in that God will see to it that all your needs are met. And I like the idea they proclaimed the gospel. So what did they speak? Well, they spoke the things they heard Jesus say. And that's the gospel part of it. And I know I listen to lessons occasionally in the car and stuff. And sometimes I don't even hear a Bible verse mentioned. It's you know, how to get along and be successful and on and on and on. But it's the gospel that men must, they'll be condemned without obeying it. So that's what they need to hear, and that's what they taught.
Yeah. Very good. Very good.
I think it's good to note that they didn't hesitate. They didn't hem-haw around or say, well, why do we need to do that? They just went. And I think it's amazing, too, that to think of them going out, and if you actually came to a place where you needed to do a miracle, you'd think it'd just be blown away to be able to do that. But these were mature people. God knew they were mature in thinking and mind and would accept the responsibility, and such they did.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you. How do you suppose they felt the first time that they walked up to a person and cast out a demon? How do you think they felt about that? That would be or to a person that was sick, and they said, "You're healed." That would be certainly a mind-opening experience for them, wouldn't it? First time they were able to do that, and they wow.
I can only hope they would just say praise God for that power, yeah. For Jesus giving it to them.
Wow. I think Ed has a comment.
I personally think a lot of people would be lifted up with pride. Like Simon in the ninth chapter of Book of Acts, when he saw that the apostles could pass on gift of the Holy Spirit, he said, "Whoa, I want that." You know, he coveted it in a bad way. Yeah. You know, Paul said, covet spiritual gifts, but covet prophecy more.
Yeah.
But so I think it would be very easy to be lifted up and think that you are something. But I think these people knew it was Jesus. You know, almost the day of Pentecost, everything was in Jesus' name, by His name, by His power. And so these were special men indeed, I think, from the very beginning.
They certainly realized where this power came. So Jesus gave them this power, so somehow they understood for sure that this power came from Jesus, yeah.
I would imagine if it had been me, I think a great fear would have came over me of just the gravity of what had just occurred. It might be akin to a brain surgeon, you know, does his first brain surgery and then he's so relieved and that the patient lived. You know, it'd just be an unbelievable thing, and so.
Yeah, and then to go along with it, the gospel, preaching the kingdom of God. Appreciate very much your comments. Very good. I waited too long.
I wasn't going to say anything. You're right. You waited too long. Just one of the things, too, that, and I try to apply this to myself, you know, they were tasked with going out and just preaching. They were tasked with going out and just preaching the word. And you know, as Paul indicated, this wasn't a pleasure trip. They were traveling light. And the point was just go spread the message. And sometimes I find in my personal life that I look for the perfect opportunity or there wasn't a whole lot of overthinking this, overcomplicating it. It was don't even pack a bag. Just go start telling people what you've seen. And when I just bring that forward to my life, I probably need to apply that a little bit better. And this is a good example of that.
Yep. Very good. Thank you. Appreciate it. Ed?
Another thing that is impressed to me, Later on, after Christ was gone, the church was established and growing. The rulers and priests and so forth noticed that they had been with Jesus. And this is the beginning of them showing that. They speak his words. They do the work that he did. It made people, it was definitely a sign that these men came from God.
Yeah.
That were using God's power to do these things.
Yeah.
It made it a lot more effective, didn't it? They, people, it seems from what we've been reading and as we go on here, the crowds that followed Jesus, and we know that they followed for some for different reasons, but some were interested in hearing the message, at least. Some followed for the miracles, some followed for the loaves and fishes, we'll find out. But some of them, many of them, I think, were following because of the message that Jesus was preaching and proclaiming to them. Yeah, very good. Thank you. Okay, well, don't hesitate to come back to this if something occurs to you. We'll go on and look at the next couple, three verses there. It mentions Herod, who was interested in what was going on, what he was hearing. Herod was the ruler of the region of Galilee. This was Herod Antipas, who was the son of Herod the Great. And he was the ruler over all Galilee. He was hearing of the works of Jesus, all of these miracles and everything. It said they had been proclaimed in the regions of Galilee and in the towns and cities. So he was hearing about this. And he wondered about it. He was curious as to what was going on, the message that was out there. And I think maybe a little concerned and worried about it as well. He had heard from some that they thought that John the Baptist had risen from the dead. And you know, we know it was Herod that had ordered John's beheading. Others thought that it was Elijah or one of the prophets that had risen again. But at any rate, Herod was concerned about this, and he looked for Jesus that he might see him, might find him. We're not told for sure if he saw Jesus at this time, but we don't think that he probably did, which is kind of curious in itself that Herod, the ruler of this region of Galilee, couldn't send out enough men and servants to locate Jesus at this time. But it's not recorded for us. But we know that over in chapter 13 of this letter, in verse 31, that Jesus was warned to flee from a certain area because Herod wanted to kill him. That's in chapter 13, verse 31. And we also know over in chapter 23 that Pilate sent Jesus to appear before Herod during the trial. So Herod is interested in what's going on because all of this is going on in his area, and eventually he's going to come to the conclusion that he needs to be put to death. And then later on we'll find out that in the trial that certainly he did not do anything to prevent this. This was going to happen. So what are your thoughts on these verses here concerning Herod at this time?
One thing that this definitely reminds me of is what it says in the second Psalm, beginning in verse 1. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. And so you mentioned at his birth there was a king who sought to take his life, and this Herod persecuted the church. They killed James, the apostle, shortly after the church was started. And, you know, the Romans and the rulers of the synagogues and the rulers of the Jews. So these things were told beforehand. Like Luke says, that these things were written that you might believe. And prophecy and these things, you know, and they weren't done in secret. None of these things. If Herod was savvy, he would have known exactly where Jesus was born and where he would live and grow up, you know. But and he would have gone to Nazareth instead of Bethlehem, you know. And so it just amazes me how prophecy, how many prophecies there are that are fulfilled for anyone to see and investigate.
Going back to what the earlier scriptures you were talking about, if we don't read carefully, we don't always see fine points. In Luke 9:4, it says, whatever house, rather than moving from house to house, perhaps in a quest for better housing, the apostles were to establish their ministry headquarters in one home. And then in chapter 10 and verse 7, and remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. And I had always thought that as they were sent out, wherever they went, they would find a home, and that's where they would stay. But no, they were staying in one place. Amazing.
Go along with what John said. If they were in a town and in one place that people were curious, they would know where to go to seek them out. One thing about these verses here with Herod and so on, this continues that theme that has developed earlier of who am I? We have all these people asking who this Jesus is. And they're speculating different things. And the apostles are going to be telling exactly who Jesus is in their ministry. So, but this continues that theme. Another thing about shaking the dust off your feet, whenever a Jewish person traveled through a Gentile neighborhood, once they were out of that, they would shake the dust off their feet because they thought they might be unclean. And here in this situation, the shaking of the dust off the feet was to indicate that they had rejected the gospel, whether it was an individual or a city. And sometimes the whole city rejected it.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you. And we know that the persecution that began in the with Jesus continued in the church too for a number of years, eventually driving the church into the wilderness for a number of years again too. So this continued the persecution that began here did not end. They thought that they would end this with putting Jesus to death. It did not end there. Thank you for your comments. I appreciate it very much. Okay. Let's read on then here a few more verses in this chapter, verse 10. And we'll read down to verse 17. And the apostles, when they had returned, told him all they had done. And he took them and went aside privately into a deserted place, belonging to the city called Bethsaida. But when the multitudes knew it, they followed him, and he received them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who were in need of healing. When the day began to wear away, the 12 came and said to him, "Send the multitude away, that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge there and get provisions, for we are in a deserted place here." But he said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said, We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish unless we go and buy food for all these people. Well, there were about 5,000 men. And then he said to his disciples, make them sit down in groups of 50. And they did so and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looking up to heaven. He blessed and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. So they all ate and were filled, and 12 baskets of the leftover fragments were taken up by them. So the apostles, after they had gone into all the regions round about Galilee, probably, and they had returned now to Jesus. We don't know how long they were gone. It's not told to us at this time. But they had been gone for some time, and they returned and reported to Jesus all that they had done. Healing, demons cast out, the gospel preached. So they reported all this back to Jesus, and some had accepted the message, some had rejected. After they had come back and reported to Jesus, Jesus took the 12 aside privately. I think probably he wanted to have some private time with the apostles to do some more teaching probably to them. John chapter 6 records that they went by ship to another region near Bethsaida, a city in the northern coast of the Sea of Galilee, and was the home of Peter, Andrew, and Philip. Told this over in John chapter 1, verse 44. So Jesus taking them aside privately, wanting to teach them, I think, further, but the crowd of people, they found out where Jesus had gone. They followed him. And when they had come over, Jesus said they received him. He received them. And he spoke to them about the kingdom of God. This was always the message, wasn't it? The coming of the kingdom of God and the gospel. And he spoke to them about this. And it says he healed all those that were in need of healing. And we also know that it records for us that the healing was one of the main reasons that some followed Jesus. And we can understand this. They didn't have the doctors and hospitals and clinics and everything like we have today. They had physicians, for sure, but they did not have all of the x-rays and MRIs and all that stuff and vaccinations and so we can understand why people would follow Jesus for the healing when they knew that they could be healed. So they followed him, some for that, some for the message. So it became late in the day as Jesus was preaching to them. And the apostles wanted to send the crowd away. 5,000 men, not including women and children, were told over in Matthew. So a large group of people, and the apostle says, it's getting late, they need some food, they need a place to stay for the night. We're in a desert place here, there's no accommodations out here, there's no food, so send them away, let them go into some of the nearby towns, countryside, and find some food and provisions, lodging. So Jesus then says something, I'm sure, to the disciples was very surprising when he said, well, you give them some food. Well, the apostles, okay, but we've only got 5 loaves and 2 fishes here. So unless we go into town and buy some more food, we're not going to have enough food to feed all of these people. And so I'm sure they thought about this. It's going to take a lot of money to do this. It's going to be logistics. How are we going to get all this food out to, from the city out to the desert so that we might feed all of these people? So Jesus knew, of course, what to do, how he was going to do it. He asked them to arrange themselves in groups of 50 so that they could be served easily, I suppose, and the crowd was willing to do this. This was all accomplished. And then Jesus took the 5 loaves, 2 fishes, looking up into heaven, blessed them, broke them apart, gave them to the disciples, and to pass out to all the people that were there. It says that all of them ate, and all of them were filled. No one lacked anything here. Maybe some of them asked for seconds. We don't know about that. But all of them were filled, and there was plenty of food to go around. After they had all eaten, there were 12 baskets of leftover fragments. So we're not sure of the reaction of the crowd at this time or the reaction of the disciples either. Were they so used to now the miracles of Jesus that they just took this as matter-of-factly and went on, ate, and were filled, and that was the end of that? I suspect some of them thought, wow, this is another proving of the divinity of Jesus. John records for us in John chapter 6 and verse 26 that some of them were following him because of the loaves and fishes. And we can somewhat understand that too. People back then did not have the resources that we have today as far as going to the grocery store or supermarket and getting provisions. They were pretty dependent on agriculture and getting food together and fishing and hunting and those kinds of things. So if they could get the free meals and everything, they were more than willing to do that. And some of them followed him because of that. And I think we can kind of understand that as well. But so that's a miracle we've studied many, many times, but it still is an amazing thing that Jesus was able to do this. So what are your comments on these verses?
Personally, I think by the fact that the disciples concluded that we're going to have to go into town, that they didn't think about Jesus being able to perform a miracle like this. And I think this goes into his training these people, that with Jesus, with God, all things are possible. And Jesus has done so many things in the sight of the multitudes and the disciples that some people said, if he's not the Messiah, could the Messiah do more than what Jesus is? And the answer is no. And this was definitely the sign, as we read in Luke, the 4th chapter, when Jesus said, you know, I came to proclaim the gospel, to heal the sick, to restore the sight to the blind, and so forth. This was definitely a sign. And what more could the Messiah do if Jesus is not the Messiah?
If he's not, who is it? Good, thank you.
One of the things we see here is that Jesus took advantage of the situation because he was going to take his the apostles aside and teach them privately. But when the opportunity presented itself that the multitudes all showed up, the important thing is he had this big audience before him, and he was going to talk to them about the kingdom of God. And so the miracles just was to prove that this indeed, this man is from God. When we look at Bethsaida, the actual meaning of that is house of fishermen. And so where they were, when he talks about a desolate place, was mostly empty places, but a lot of it was pasture. And it's thought that at one time the Sea of Galilee came all the way up to Bethsaida.
And so the situation that presented itself was just a great opportunity for Jesus to preach to those people. And he didn't want them to leave. He apparently wasn't through with what he wanted to teach them. And the miracle of the fishes would show them another example that Jesus had the power over nature to multiply even some dead fish.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you.
I tend to be quite visual. And as I try to visualize how these two fish turned into thousands of fish among these people, and these people standing around hungry, they seemed to be patient and waited on this. They could have got very aggressive and said, oh, food, you know, we got to get her food. But it all went real well, and it just shows the peace of God was there among the place. But I just can't imagine these fish multiplying.
Yeah, probably somebody would take out a piece and there'd be a piece replaced, I suppose. I'm sure how that all happened, but it did, and we know it did, and it was made an impression for sure.
Just a thought that kind of popped into my mind here as we're looking at this, and I looked at it. It's in the Matthew and the Mark account as well as he. Jesus says to the apostles, he says, you feed them. And I go, why does he say that? And I don't have a good answer. You're just sitting here thinking that the two things that popped into my mind are, one, this is right on the heels of what we were talking about, that he gave them the ability to heal people and to cast out demons. So one thought is perhaps they maybe did have the ability to do this and he was trying to push them. Or completely opposite of that, maybe this was a bit of a reality check, and even though they could do those miraculous things, he's, you know, saying you do it, and they're like, we can't, and then he does provide for the people, so he's still showing that he's able to provide things that even though they have those miraculous powers, they can't do. I'm not sure, but I don't think that that's accidental, and I don't think it's recorded in all three accounts without a purpose. So there's some reason that he asked them, you do it, and I'm not sure what that is, but just a thought.
Yep, very good. Yeah, Luke was so precise in writing, but Luke left some things out that we'd like to know, didn't he? But he gave us enough, and we can wonder and marvel at what we're not told as well, I think. You know, one thing is, if they sailed by ship over to Bethsaida, you know, to get enough ships together and to take 5,000 people over there, that followed Jesus, it says. They followed him from Galilee. And that's no small feat either. But it happened. It did. It would have taken some time, I suppose. But there was a lot of ships there on the sea because this was a fishing sea, and so there would have been a lot of fishing vessels available, I suppose.
I think... what Shane said to me, I think this might be a lesson in we can do a lot more than we think we can. Not that we can provide miracles, but there's a lot of things that I've said I can't do that, and I'm not able to do that. That could never happen for me, and you just keep doing the best you can, and suddenly you find out you can overcome a lot more than we think we can. We can deal with adversity a lot better than we think we can if Jesus is there, you know, and the Spirit of God is with us. We need to realize that power, you know. Whether these guys could have actually done that or not on their own, they didn't even think of it. They didn't even think that they could do it even by going into town.
Yeah.
So I think that's a lesson for us.
Yeah. Very good, Paul.
One of the things we don't often recognize as we go through these verses, it looks like things are happening, you know, just one right after another, bam, bam, bam. It would have taken some time for 5,000 people to show up. And undoubtedly there were a lot that came in ships, but there was probably enough time from some of those to go from around the top and walking down to where he was. And so we just don't know the time span here, the amount of time that it took all this to take place. I mean, Jesus could snap his fingers and things could happen, but these were ordinary people. They had families with them. So it would have took some time for them to catch up to him. Mm-hmm.
In John's account of this, it's in John 6:5. It says, when Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many? Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in the place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed those to those who were seated as much as they wanted. And he did the same with the fish.
Yep. Very good. Thank you. So that partially answers our why I said this to them was to test them somewhat. Thank you. Appreciate that. Okay. Well, as often happens, we're down to verse 18 through 22. And we're not going to have enough time to get into this. This occasion that's recorded for us here, and we know it's also recorded over in chapter 16 of Matthew. And this was a very critical time here that Jesus spends with his apostles. And the things that are talked about here as far as continuing to prepare the apostles for the work that they were going to be called to do. So we'll read these verses, but we won't, as I say, we only got a couple minutes. We don't want to spend some time on this. So, and it happened as he was alone praying, the disciples joined him and he asked them saying, who do the crowd say that I am? And they answered and said, John the Baptist. Some say Elijah, others say one of the old prophets has risen again. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Peter answered and said, the Christ of God. And he strictly warned and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying, Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised the third day. So, as I said, we won't get into this morning, but this is a very, very critical time here that Jesus is spending with them at this time. Alone, he says, they wanted to be alone with them. So, any final thoughts you have this morning before we conclude here? Okay, again, one and all, thank you for your comments. We'll have our break.